Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He is Dan Lifshatz. We are the Bankroll Boys. And Dan?
Yes, sir.
Another profitable week for us.
We did. I did not do well in the NFL last week, Joe. The turnaround for me, which I've usually done very well in the NFL and have struggled in college football, but I tried to change things up in college football a little bit last week. Did very well. I think I went 3-1 last week in college football.
Yeah, you had the Michigan State was a good play.
Michigan State, yep.
And I actually watched that whole entire game, and they pulled away at the end, but they were the better team for sure.
Well, we actually went 4-1 because we both had BC as well.
BC, that's right.
So we had BC. We had I had Michigan State. I liked Northwestern, but I don't think we ended up playing it.
Yeah.
We had
it was funny because I texted you almost every game we discussed, the outcome happened. So I don't know if like we just been watching every week and can now kind of see what the right matchup is, or we're just dead on the lines. But we're getting better at college football.
Yeah, so I had Oklahoma State plus 3.5,
yep.
Northern Illinois plus 7, which I told you my sharp friend just was obsessed with that line and kept telling me every single day, hit it. So I was like, okay, looked into it, liked it enough. They won outright, 7-6, terrible game. And then Notre Dame minus 23, did not cover, got backdoored, did not cover. But they got close, and we also hit BC. Joey Murr, I can't remember who you had, but you did well as well. You crushed last week. I believe that you had Northwestern. I'm not positive, but
I forget where my bets were. I did have Arizona State. They won.
You didn't.
I'm just trying to. I'm looking at the. Clemson rolled.
Yes.
That was one where I was like,
see, I liked Florida State last week, which was interesting. I thought that was going to be a good play. That was probably one of my worst leans of the year.
You know what I lost? I lost Oregon at night. And that's one of those games when a team comes off an emotional loss.
Khalil Tate?
He woke up. Maybe he's healthy. I don't know. But that was a beatdown, and I was way off on that one.
The other game, Joe, that we did do well on is the Hawaii game. We had Fresno State minus 24.5. We also hit that as well.
And it almost came down to the wire. 50-20 was the final, but there could have been a late backdoor. But the odds makers are now on Hawaii.
Yes, they are.
They can figure them out very well. So enough patting us on the back.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, 6-2 in college football. We did not do well in the NFL, or I did not do well. You had the Skins. That was an easy win for you, Joe. Good win by them.
I had the Skins, and then I think I had the Patriots on Monday, and I just
you did
got
indeed.
Lucky on that Devin
McCourty.
You
had the Patriots on Monday. I had the Lions, the Rams, and the Patriots under.
Man, the Lions sucked.
I had the Lions, the Rams, and the Patriots under. The Lions were very disappointing. Yeah. I have had a good read on that team all year, Joe. Really felt like I've had a good read on that team all year. They were extremely disappointing this week.
Wow.
They started off very well, And by the end of the second quarter, they were out of that game. And I thought maybe they'll come back in the second half or, you know, a potential to get there. They did not.
Jacksonville sucks. Can we just, I know that was your early play.
Yes.
And maybe it was the right side, like looking at the statistics. You can no longer back that team.
No, I mean, I think at this time it's just kind of done. You know what I mean? It's just absolutely brutal this point.
Do you know how we always do like teams to buy low on but sell high on or whatever?
Yes.
When it comes to gambling, there's something about Tampa Bay that I like. I don't know if it's like they just go over all the time.
I mean, it's a team that somehow always ends up getting the back door, and they almost always go over. They're just your classic public square team. It's a interesting team, and I think that's kind of what maybe why you like them, and I do too. I mean, they've been awesome to bet on. I almost took them last week for Cincinnati. The line was opened at 6. It was bent down to 3.5, and I thought at 3.5 it kind of represented no value, and the game ended at 3. So I mean, it was pretty close right there.
And Todd Gurley doesn't care about you gamblers.
I was going to say Todd Gurley screwed the Rams -7 bettors too. So that was brutal. And I personally was on the Rams -7, Joe. So very unhappy with Todd Gurley, but understand at the same time.
So we got some good games this week.
This is the best NFL slate in terms of actual games we have this year, in my opinion, so far.
In the big one, Rams Saints, and then Patriots Packers. There's going to be tons of money. Because the Rams-Saints game, those minus ones, man. Think about all those squares who bet on those games. Or just all the action in general. And then Patriots-Packers on Sunday Night Football. Like, to me, that screams over. And I wonder if it's a game that all of a sudden the defense will show up.
Yeah. No, I certainly understand. So... We have a great college football slate. We have the biggest college football game of the year so far, Joe.
Right.
LSU Alabama, we will definitely get into that one. We're going to talk about some NBA considering I have been doing quite well in the NBA so far.
We've just neglected NBA for a bit, but it's one of the best sports to bet on.
Yeah, you know, if you bet one or two a day and you don't bet every game on the slate, you'll do well. Pick and choose your spots. Joe had the one game that I've lost in like the past like 2 weeks. He bet the Celtics, and I had the Thunder. That was the only loss I've had, Joe, in like literally 2 weeks. It's been a ride.
This isn't patting ourselves on the back. We're not touts.
I'm just talking about it.
We're just dudes who bet on sports, and we're like the only ones who can really talk about it. And no one else is also degenerates like us.
So that's also fair.
And the one thing I've learned since we've been doing this podcast is people are listening. We appreciate the support. We get a lot of negative stuff, which is fine. Like, if you want to bust our balls, that's great. But, like, hey, you picked Arizona, you suck. Or you've been cold the last 2 weeks, Joe. Or, like, but just don't give us the, oh, you went 2-1. You couldn't go 3-0? Like, that kind of crap. Like, I'm over it. So, no more rants. I'm not starting off with a rant this week.
Okay. Yeah. No, I want to say that for all the people out there who listen and appreciate, thank you. I mean, honestly, we're not going to win every game, but I appreciate the hell out of the people who listen and comment and, you know, I mean, that stuff's fun. That's why we're doing it. We're doing it for you guys for the most part. We're not going to win every game. We're not going to win every single week. It's not the way the business works. And I'm just trying to get that into your heads. You just can't win every week in this business. It's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And if anyone tells you that they do, that they're wrong.
They're liars. So, I mean, it's not true. The sharpest of the sharp bettors in the entire world lose every week.
And the hardest thing with gambling is just that money management one day at a time type thing. You know,
also fair.
You know, this Saturday it was hard for me not to try to put a bet on that Georgia Florida game. It had family over the house, and here I am watching Florida and Georgia, and Florida stuffs Georgia 5 times in a row after a penalty on the goal line, and I'm just sitting there. Why are you so excited about this game, Joe? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like it's money management, everybody.
I did not watch that game this week. I was occupied with other things, but I've heard from a few people that was one of the most frustrating games to watch in a long time, and also one of the most fun games to watch at the same time. So, I mean, it was definitely an interesting game, but I felt that we really nailed the college slate last week, Joe. I think we did very well in our college plays, so why don't we get into that?
Let's do it.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
We got the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, at OverUnder985 podcast. And for those who are wondering about our picks and our plays, go to at OverUnder985, at Joey Murr, and at Dan Lifshatz, so you can see our documented plays. And we also talk about the plays here on the show. So, we might not be betting them, but if you like our insight on it, fade or follow. That's our motto. So, an interesting week this week. Can I just start off with UCF versus Temple?
Sure.
You know I'm a big UCF guy, right?
That game is tonight, Joe.
Oh, sorry, Friday. Okay, and is this going to drop today?
Yeah, it's going to be Thursday, yep.
That Temple team is scary. They're scary. I had Cincinnati a couple weeks ago who should have won that game. But UCF at 10.5, I think it's too many points. I think they win. But just looking at it, it's went from 12 to 10.5. You mean to tell me that on a Thursday night football, because the NFL game sucks. What, we got the Raiders and...
The Raiders and the Niners tonight.
So I think a lot of people are going to be watching UCF tonight. And I know the NFL numbers will do well, but I feel like that people don't know how good Temple is.
I think that this NFL game is going to be the worst game of the year. I think it has literally potential. The Niners may start a undrafted free agent who had 5 turnovers in about a game and a half in the preseason. It's disgusting. So, I mean, it's absolutely terrible. So, I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of college football interest tonight. That Temple-UCF game is going to be one of them. I happen to agree with you. I think the 10.5 is too much. I started off thinking Temple was pretty bad this season. They did not play well. They did not look great.
Quarterback named Russo is pretty good.
They were quite terrible at the beginning of the year. They have really rebounded. They've been much better as of late. Temple plus 11, I believe, is the line now. I like Temple at the 11. I'm not going to tell you to, you know, I don't think that there's a... I haven't looked into the college games a lot tonight. I will say that the Akron Northern Illinois over-under is at 37, and so that interests me a lot. Obviously, Northern Illinois had won 7-6 last week against BYU. We were on Northern Illinois last week, if you listen to the podcast. So, I mean, I kind of like the under there, but I want to take a look into that one. Other than that, you know, Ohio, Western Michigan, that spread is 3, so we got some action tonight.
Yep.
We got some action.
Those are two Thursday good teams, too, Ohio and Western Michigan.
See, I think Western Michigan is overrated this year.
I watched them play Syracuse. They lost. They didn't cover, but
I don't think Western Michigan is as good. I think Ohio is probably obviously the better team this year. But that spread's very interesting at 2.5 right now. And again, I think the other spread that's interesting is that Temple spread at 11. I kind of like Temple there. Yeah. Again, I'm probably not going to play it. But I just think the Temple is probably the right side. The over-under there is a set at 61, Joe.
Ooh, I like the over.
Which means that they think that Temple is going to put up at least a few points tonight, too. So. Yeah.
So that's just one game I looked at, and we know what the big games are this week, and we'll certainly get into them. I just have one for you. You had Michigan State last week.
Yes.
Underdogs. What was it? A pick-em minus one?
The line bounced all around last week. It was interesting.
Now, do you back them again this week against the Maryland team that just fired its coach, who was suspended? They've been winning without him. That's an interesting team, that Maryland team.
So, no, I do not.
Okay. Is it the emotional factor, or is it just the fact coming off a big win and then going back on the road?
I think it's a combo of factors, Joe. I think Maryland fired their coach. So that's always just kind of like a motivator to play well for the new
guy.
They
beat Texas with all that stuff happening on the opening week.
They did, and they did not like DJ Durkin from everything I've heard. And so therefore, that's a motivator right there. Maryland got shut out 2 weeks ago, came back, covered last week after really what was an interesting spread to me. I told you, we talked about that in the podcast, 17.5. Last week, and so they ended up covering that spread. I just, this week to me, They won 63-33, by the way. Scored, put up a 63 spot in Illinois, who, again, you told me, as I said, Lovie Smith, terrible, but still. Michigan State, big win, really got up for that game. It was a tough win, grinded out when they ended up winning by, I think it was 3 points at the end, or sorry, 10 points at the end. They got the touchdown in the end. 23-13 was the final score in that one. I like Maryland this week a lot, Joe. I think Maryland is going, this is going to be a tough spot for Michigan State on the road after a big game. Maryland just fired the coach. They've been rolling at home again. I think that this is going to be a Maryland cover. I like that line at 3 for Maryland a lot, Joe.
Because what I would do, like Dan liked Michigan State so much last week, I want to know what they're doing this week. They also have a new quarterback, which changed the offense. So.
Correct.
Something just to look into. But I saw that as like one of the early games at 12 o'clock. I don't really want to break this game down, but Clemson against Louisville, 38 points. I would absolutely lay that.
Yeah,
Louisville's been bad.
I'm not in the process. I'm not in the mindset of laying 39 in a football game. But, yeah, I mean, it's Clemson or nothing, especially after last
Clemson's
week.
Clemson's been awesome. There's one SEC game at noon, Texas A&M at Auburn. I love Auburn. I love Texas A&M. Auburn's been just – I'm done betting them.
they're on your do not bet list.
Yeah, and they'll probably cover this week.
Yeah, I mean, at 4, it's definitely an interesting spread. Texas A&M, I feel, is being undervalued in the entire country, just everything that they've done so far. I felt like they've been pretty good this year. But, yeah, I mean, Auburn is – but Texas A&M is probably going to get the majority of the bets this week. Again, I think that that's kind of a spread you look at it. I don't love it either way. I think that's going to be one of those games you just kind of, if you do have a lean, go with it. But I would, I mean, I just think that Auburn's probably going to be undervalued here.
Okay. Those are the 12 o'clock games. And I know people lose their ass on the noon games because they're so biting at the bit to get going and they got stuff going on in the afternoon. It tends to happen. Just by the way, we did have UMass last week against UConn.
We did.
That was like one of my favorite. UMass, somebody texted me. UMass, because I said it on the air.
Yep.
They came back and won. They're 3-point favorites against Liberty this week. I don't know if I touched that one, but -3 looks good. How about Georgia, Kentucky? I know these teams very well. That running back Snell for Kentucky, stud. He's a stud muffin.
Yes, he was awesome. And again, matching 7-1 records, 5-1 in the SEC. This game is going to be interesting as hell.
Based off what you know between both teams, I do not think Kentucky can keep up with the scoring with Georgia, but Georgia off an emotional win against Florida. Maybe they're beat up.
So here's my interesting thought. The spread is 9, but the over-under is at 44, which means that they're going to tell you that either Kentucky is not going to score at all, or they think that it's going to be a low-scoring game and Kentucky can stay in it. Just based on the over-under number, and again, I'm not going to be betting this game, so this is not a game that I like this week. I think that you probably just have to bet Kentucky off the fact that it's at 9 and the over-under is 44. To me, that seems like a low-scoring game that Kentucky could backdoor. It's weird that it's not at 10. I kind of thought, you know, this would probably be – I mean, I know Georgia's on the road. I think 9 is a high spread for them. It's still to me.
Still
I,
kinda,
I like Kentucky with the 9.
And just this might be one of those games where, yep, you've seen Kentucky. You know they're good. Great running game. You've seen Georgia. Yeah, they just somehow put up points on that Florida defense. But 9 or 10 might just be too many. In this spot, though, I would bet Georgia. But 9 or 10 point spreads, we've talked about them all year long.
We have
anything 6.5 to 9 or 10, especially on the road. You got to be careful.
I agree. I do think that that's more of an NFL thing, but I think that even in college football, it's been prevalent. Those home dogs have really done a good job backing between that, you know, that 6.5 to 10 number. LSU a couple weeks ago versus Georgia, you know, is one that kind of pops off in my head. So I mean, it's just that it's just been kind of in one of those years where a lot of the home dogs have covered a lot recently. So it's been we do have a recency bias on that, I will say.
Speaking of teams you like to follow in spots, sometimes you like to bet spots. I do this in college basketball, which we'll get into at some point. I like to follow a team.
It's 2 weeks away, Joe.
Wow. I like to follow a team, see how they do against the top 10 team, win or lose, and then follow them the next game and then fade or fall following game. So this is where Purdue comes in. Purdue beats Ohio State. They play Michigan State on the road last week. They lose. Now they're favorites at home against an Iowa team that's been really good that lost to Penn State. So I look at this spot and say, do you back Purdue here? And I just feel like Iowa might be the play coming off a loss. Both teams off a loss, but I just like, I don't know, just feel like Iowa is a good spot here against Purdue.
This is a tough spot for me because Purdue's now basically run the gauntlet. You know, they faced Ohio State. Now they, then they, you know, they lost to Michigan State. Now they face Iowa, who is another very good defensive team. I don't really know where to go with this one, Joe. I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of lost at this line.
Yeah.
Three is kind of in that place. I kind of thought Iowa might be
the
favorite.
I see 1.5.
So I have 2.5 right here, or 2, depending on the line. 2 right now is at minus, is juiced to 125 for Purdue. So, I mean, the thing is that even so, I kind of figured that Iowa would still be a one-point favorite on the road here. So I think that there is some value there. But I do think that Purdue is going to end up somehow finding a way to win this game, which is why I don't want to bet it. But it certainly is an interesting one, that's for sure, Joe. I got to tell you, I think Iowa has been one of the weirdest college football teams, just going from high to low.
I think they're underrated.
They are, but they're also overrated in some weeks, too. I think this may be a week that they're overrated as well. But again, Purdue's running the gauntlet right now. So, I mean, and again, for some teams, that can be a good thing because they're battle-tested. They're facing constantly good teams, so they're always up for the games. Sometimes it's a bad thing because you face so many good teams, eventually it's a letdown game. So it's one of those games I'm going to stay away from, Joe. I think it's an interesting spot game, as you said, but just not something I can put money on.
Let's knock out some of the big ones this week. Starting with West Virginia at Texas. Texas off a loss. West Virginia absolutely blew out Baylor. Maybe not a surprise, but
woo!
You hear that, everybody? Woo! Right before a wedding. Texas or nothing for me in that one.
I'm going to agree with you. I think that this is a Texas or nothing spot versus West Virginia. I think West Virginia is going to continue to be overhyped in the next couple weeks. I think they're going to be whatever.
Yeah, like faced on adversity on the road, I just don't trust. Never have I ever trusted them, even back to the Steve Slayton days.
I mean, when they lost outright to Iowa State a couple weeks ago. When you were on that one. Yep, when I backed them. I was not impressed by West Virginia then. I'm not impressed by West Virginia now. That being said, again, here's kind of another thing. I don't really think that Texas has been as good as they've been this year. I think they're slightly overrated as well.
See, I think they've improved as a program.
Oh, no, for sure they have. But I think because it's Texas football, I think they're being overlooked, you know, or overrated as a program or whatever. So
Texas is a team, by the way, careful betting them.
So, again, it's one of
both,
those.
Both these teams are like,
it's one of those.
Man, I hate them betting on them.
And so it's one of those games I don't want to touch. I really don't.
Okay. How about Penn State at Michigan?
This is an interesting one, Joe. I think.
Minus 10.5.
So we've heard basically Michigan's defensive coordinator, whose name basically say that, you know, he has nightmares about freaking Penn State. And, you know, everything that's happened to them, the line is at 10 right now. It was at 9.5 earlier today, which is earlier this morning.
You know, it's Dan Brown, right? Local guy.
Yes, I know. So, I mean,
Don Brown.
Yeah, Don Brown. So, you know, I like Michigan. I like Michigan to cover the number. This game very much reminds me of the Wisconsin game earlier in the year where Whiskey was getting that big number versus Michigan. Everyone bet on Whiskey. Michigan covered pretty easily. I think this is going to be a very similar game. Penn State in a bad spot coming off that big win versus Iowa. That was a tough game for them for a long time. It was a grinded out game. They finally pulled away and won. I think this is going to be a bad spot for Penn State. Michigan has just been doing so well. Their defense is elite in every sense of the word. I like Michigan to cover the 10 this week. I think this is one of those spots, Joe, where you maybe consider buying it down to 9.5. Again, you know I feel about buying points, but I feel like that's maybe 9.5. I like Michigan to cover the 10, 9.5 this week.
Michigan needs it more, and Penn State's just not what we thought they were. That's all I can leave it on that one. How about Boston College at Virginia Tech? V-Tech getting smoked by Georgia Tech last week. And it really was because of their special teams, which is something they've been known for. BC riding high after the Bandana game?
They are, and they're laying two on the road right now, which I don't love. I like Virginia Tech in this spot, and you know me, Joe. I have the my biggest future was on the BC over 6.5 wins. We talked about that.
6-2.
And they are 6-2. They have, so I'm waiting for that final win. They do have Florida State and Syracuse to wrap up the year. They also have, I believe they're facing Clemson. They're facing Virginia Tech this week. I think they face one more opponent, too. I can't remember exactly who it is, but they face Florida State and Syracuse to wrap up the year. I think they will win one of those two games. So I'm not too worried about that over under 6.5. I do think they're going to lose this week. I think Virginia Tech is off a short week. They played, I believe it was on Thursday night, Joe. They played Georgia Tech. They got smoked in that game. I mean, it was bad. It was real bad. It was fine early on. Yeah,
you're right. VTech, Clemson, Florida State, Syracuse.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so
they need to win one of those games to go over the total.
Yep, so they'll win
Florida. This might be Syracuse might be their.
I think they're going to kill Florida State. I think Boston College. Yeah, Florida State is terrible this year, so I'm not worried. They'll be Florida State or Clemson. Florida State or Syracuse. Okay. So, but I think that Virginia Tech is going to win in this spot. It would not shock me if Virginia Tech flops and they get rolled. But it just seems like Virginia Tech is going to end up being that weird home dog this week. I lean Virginia Tech.
Last year, AJ Dillon. Held to 35 yards on 10 carries. BC lost 23-10 last year. So, a little redemption time here. The Hokies have won three straight matchups by a combined 98-20 against BC. So, just keep that in mind. There has been domination from Virginia Tech if you're looking at that one. So, can you tell me why I should not bet Utah at Arizona this week? I have covered Utah every week. Then I post at 10:30, whenever the game starts, Utah minus something. So I've had them against USC. I had them last week against whoever the hell they played. Tell me why I shouldn't bet Utah as a 7-point favorite on the road at Arizona State this week. Tell me why.
I can't give you a good reason because you know what I think of Arizona State. I think they're one of the most overrated thought of teams in the country. I do think they're going to go over that 4.5 win total, which sucks for me because I was on the under and I like that a good amount. So that's going to probably end up being a loss after last week. I think that Utah is going to roll Arizona State. I think that 7 is way too little. I think this line should be more about 10, 12. I think Utah is a far better team. Arizona State is due for regression, collapse, whatever you want to say. I'm going to take Utah minus the 7 this week for sure, Joe. I like that. Okay. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
I agree. I mean, it's the square.
Should we make it a PP?
I'm not going to go that far because I think there's other bets on the board, but I'm probably going to bet it myself. I just think that Utah is the better team. I know this is a square play. I think they're going to cover that 7 pretty easily. But if you like it, Joe, you should make it a PP. Do not be scared.
I like it, but I might not make it a PP.
Okay, all right.
No so PPs yet.
No. I will have at least one for you in college football. So just
okay. Before we get to the big one, which is Alabama LSU, anything else on here? Like is Boise State 2-touchdown favorite against BYU, something to look at?
Well, I want to go back and talk about a game that I'm very interested in, or two games very interested in the 12 p.m. slot, actually. Nebraska, Ohio State.
Ooh.
Ohio State laying 17.5 at home to Nebraska. This reminds me of a spread versus, you know, like just a weird spread to me. 17.5 versus a 2-6 Nebraska, who again has been.
Nebraska's better than 2-6.
But are they? I mean, they've had some terrible losses this year.
Yeah, I mean, again,
Nebraska's my other big over-under, and I was the under six and a half wins this year. I think Nebraska's terrible. However, I think that this is another spot for Ohio State, kind of going through turmoil, you know, consistently having issues now. I like Nebraska plus the 17.5.
Ooh.
I'm not going to touch it. But I think it's a very interesting line, something to look at this year.
Do you know what the score was last year?
I, I'm sure 56, Ohio State blew 14. Them out. Yeah, I'm sure Ohio State blew them out.
Nebraska's won two in a row.
They have.
0-6, 2-6 now.
Let's not get too overhyped on them. They're still a terrible team. The other one I want to look at is Iowa State laying 14.5 on the road to Kansas.
Oh, Kansas! You love to fade Kansas.
I'd like to play Kansas. I've tailed Kansas twice this year. My only two bets this year have been on Kansas. One versus Rutgers where they won outright, and I can't remember the other one, but they was TCU and they covered TCU as well. I like Kansas again this week. I now think Iowa State's being overvalued in the spot. I think Kansas covers the 14.5 pretty easily, actually. Ooh. I think you're probably looking at maybe a 7 to 10 point game there.
Okay. So I like that. I would never look at those games, but Dan likes that 12 o'clock action.
I do. I think the 12 o'clock games are the easier games to bet. I usually do better in the early slate, struggle in the middle slate, and do very well the night slate. That's kind of my betting pattern this year.
Can we do a segment around the holidays about teams that I hate to bet?
Sure.
Or teams that could fall off the face of the earth and it would never bother me?
Of course.
Because I'll just give you a sneak peek.
Okay.
Pittsburgh in college football.
They have been your doom this year.
They have beaten me against Syracuse, against Duke. I am out on Pitt.
Just stop betting against them. Don't bet against them. The one time that we did bet against them, we had a Penn State money line parlay, and Penn State beat them by like 49. It was brutal. They just rolled them. So I understand your frustration there. I certainly do. So
okay.
That is a frustrating team to bet this year. They are hard to get a read on.
Can I tell you a team that I think is awesome this year? Maybe doesn't get the consideration they deserve because of their conference, but Utah State has been unbelievable.
What did I tell you? What was my one team total?
I think you
had
the team total on there.
I did.
Right?
Utah State hit the team total in the first half last week.
And who are they playing this week?
They are playing your favorite team, Hawaii, laying 19 on the road, Joe.
Lay it on Utah State, baby.
I don't disagree. I think you should play their team total again. Utah State minus 19 is a decent look.
PP, I'm marrying a Hawaiian, so I'm going against them, and we're going to win this one, Dan.
Okay, Utah State PP. Minus 19 for Joe. So I think that is...
I got 18 on my end.
Oh, okay. Well, minus 18 for Joe. 18. That's fine. That's fine, too.
But Utah State, really, though, they're going to have to play Boise. Have they played Boise? I don't even know. But last year, they beat Hawaii 38-0, and they're even better this year. They got this quarterback named Love. Outstanding. So I like Utah State. Not sure. Oh, and then is there any other game before we get into the LSU game?
I mean, I can.
What about Wazoo, who just continues to be a cover machine, winning last week? But I think you like Stanford last week.
I did
right?
like Stanford. I almost played them as one of my PPs. I ended up betting them. So to be open, to be fair, I bet Stanford. Wazoo now 8-0 against the spread this year. So Mike Leach again with another cover.
Cal sucks.
They are now the books have finally adjusted, laying 10 versus Cal. I think is an underrated team this year. I do.
That Mayfew kid. I don't know what year he is, but he's really good.
Who, Minshew?
Minshew, sorry.
Yeah, Minshew.
He is awesome.
Yeah, Minshew is awesome, dude. And although I like Laird from Cal. I think he's a good player as well. I think that Cal ends up covering the 10. I am not advising you to bet that game, though. Not. I mean, betting against Mike Leach right now is just dumb. I fell for the trap last week. I'm not chasing that, so I am not doing that. But yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of bettors who decide that they want to bet against Washington State this week. So I think that there is a decent opportunity here.
That's all I got, Dan.
All right. Well, let's get into the big one then. Alabama LSU.
Tell me why we should bet Alabama first half.
Okay. So I would almost always tell you to bet Alabama first half. This week, I do not. I actually like an interesting reverse in this game. LSU night game at LSU, Baton Rouge, Tiger Stadium. It is going to be absolutely insane. LSU has the number one first half defense, the number one first half defense, number one first quarter defense in the college football. Alabama has the number one scoring offense in college football, in the first quarter scoring offense in college football, and they are perfect 8-0 against the spread in the first half. I think that changes this week. I think LSU covers the first half and Alabama covers the full game. So I think LSU will cover. I think it will probably be around 10. The spreads won't come out until later today for the first half. But I'm assuming it'll probably be around 9 or 10. I think LSU covers the first half. I think Bama covers the full game. So it's going to be an interesting reverse. I prefer the LSU first half this week. I do. I think the LSU first half. The problem is the 8-0 trend for me. But who has Bama really played besides A&M? Tennessee? They think that's their second best win. No.
Bama's schedule has been soft.
It's disgusting. And LSU's schedule
has been awesome.
Has been extremely tough. 7-1, 4-1 in the SEC. I like LSU first half this week. I'm not going to make it a PP yet, but I like LSU first half this week. I like Bama to cover the game and start rolling in the second half.
So I watched last year's game. I backed LSU. It was at Alabama. This is when Jalen Hurts started to struggle a little bit, couldn't throw. Danny Etling was the quarterback, by the way, for LSU last year. He threw a pick late to lose that game. I believe it was like a 24-10 final. I still see a low-scoring game. I like Alabama to win like 31-17.
I think that's right.
Maybe even the – I just think Alabama puts up 30.
I think I don't know about that. If they do, I think it's going to be more of a second half.
Both teams give up under 16 points per game.
And the over-under set at 54, so you know that someone's going to get – I would just not be surprised about a 27, 10 type game. Yeah. That would not surprise me. But I can also see a very high-scoring game if the teams get out of hand in the second half.
I'm curious if Alabama tries to throw with Tua – he has 25 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Oh, they're going to. They're going to have to utilize him to the best of their abilities this week. Again, Bama has played no one, which is why I think they're going to struggle in the first half versus LSU.
But, if Brosette doesn't get going for LSU, they can't get it going with Burrow, you know?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They're a much better offense, LSU, with Burrow. But if Brosette doesn't get going, man, they're just another team.
I agree, but that defense is elite.
It is.
And I think there's going to be a hard time putting up points.
It's going to be a hell of a game.
All right, last college game, Joe, and I want to go back to UMass. UMass this week facing Liberty. UMass -2.5 at home versus Liberty. I like Liberty +2.5.
Really?
I like Liberty to win this game.
You're a homer, Dan.
Yeah, such a homer. Betting against UMass, I like Liberty.
You're a hater.
So I'm not going to make that a PP yet, but I like Liberty to cover that 3. I'm going to go back, and I've decided I'm going to make Purdue a PP. I'm going to take Purdue. I'm going to make that a PP. The more I look at Iowa's spot right now, the more I hate it. And I know Purdue is just going through the gauntlet right now. They played well the past 2 weeks. I'm going to back them again. I know I faded them last week. I'm going to back them at home this week. Purdue -2.5.
They had a shot last week at Michigan State.
PP, Purdue -2.5. Okay, it's a play, officially a play, Purdue -2.5. Right. People are still complaining they don't only give out plays. So PP on Purdue -2.5, officially a play.
Okay, and I have Utah -7, PP.
All right, Joe.
So that's what we came up with.
I think we did a decent job covering the college football.
That's every game, everybody. Well, mostly every game.
I mean, yeah.
Besides Toledo and, Tulane. UAB or something.
We're not going to cover every
Oklahoma, Texas Tech, which is actually an entertaining game. The total is set at 78. Would you lean over?
Let's move on. Let's move on. I don't want to do it. Let's move on.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. In a minute, we're going to break down every NFL game across the Week 9 schedule.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting. The NFL, college football, and any other sports league that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right, back here over under 985. Time to take a look at the NFL with Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Just a couple of trends I had for this week. We mentioned the Todd Gurley thing, which kind of hurt bettors last week. Just one thing off the top. The Jets have become the first team to sell official to be an official gaming partner. So they have they struck a deal with MGM, which includes in-gaming product with the Jets app. So therefore, you're going to be able to use an app, Dan, to like bet in games. And if you're like a season ticket holder for the Jets, you're going to have first access to all this. But this is the first time we're now seeing, because I know Dallas has something, Houston has something set up with a casino. Well, this is an actual app, and obviously sports betting is legal in Jersey. So like this thing's going to blow up. Like here, we're at like the beginning stages, the startup stages of just talking gambling on a podcast. Stuff's starting to get real once the Jets getting involved now.
It's definitely coming, Joe. It's coming fast and furious. It's being legalized in more and more states. Now teams are starting to get apps. It's coming. Everything is coming. The game is going to blow up absolutely, and there's going to be a lot of people who will lose a crap load of money because they just don't know how to bet. Everyone thinks they know everything about betting. You see every single person on Twitter.
I don't. I just love to do it.
Every single the thing is, Joe, you know more than 95% of them. Every single media member now is, you know, tweeting about betting. Mina Kimes, who thinks like she's some sort of god savant from ESPN, thinks she's like, you know, one of the best on Twitter. I despise her, by the way. I think she's absolutely god awful what she does. I'm not a surprise. You know, is talking about betting. She's a terrible bettor. There's just terrible bettors everywhere. So again, just all these people are coming out of the woodwork now talking about spreads, thinking that they know how to bet games. They're all dumbasses.
I've been told I'm a terrible bettor by people, but whatever. Let's play big tank bank little bank. Anyways,
we don't need to do that. But I mean, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Okay.
I got some trends for you this week, Dave.
Okay, let's get into the trends quickly. I'm down.
No. We'll break it down by game. Okay. But I got trends for you.
All right. Do you want to talk about the Oakland San Francisco?
Give me the Raiders.
Game? Okay. I happen to agree. I think it's the square point. But San Francisco batting, San Francisco starting an undrafted free agent.
Why are they favored? Upset loss to the Cardinals?
The Raiders are awful. The Niners have been. The Niners are home. I can't think of anything else. I don't know. I don't get the spread. I'm not going to touch the game tonight. I think it's one of the worst games I'll probably watch all year, and I probably end up having to watch it. I think the Raiders are going
to
win.
Everyone should watch UCF and try to get them into the Final Four. Yeah. All right. There are quality games this week. Games.
Let's move on to the rest of the slate. I hate that game.
Detroit, Minnesota. So you've been following Detroit all week. Minnesota's been good.
Minnesota has been good, but Minnesota was they blew it last week. Thielen was about to go into the end zone for a touchdown, fumbles the ball. The Saints go right down the field, score a touchdown. Then they end up, you know, Cousins throws a pick six, trying to force the ball, and the Saints run away with that one.
That should have been a backdoor all over for. They should have backdoored.
The Vikings should have won that game. Forget about backdooring. Yeah. They should have won that game.
That's why I think they've been good. Like, the way, you know, I watched them against the Eagles, they were good. I agree with you. I think they should have at least covered last week.
They should have covered last week. Detroit, to me, is...
They're on the road, Dan. That should be, like, the number one thing for Detroit. Last week, I know they were at home against Seattle. But, like, it's hard for me to back them on the road.
So the spread opened at 5.5. It's at 5 now. The sharps being on Detroit to me feels like the right side, but I can't back them. I just can't after that performance they put in versus Seattle. I don't like Minnesota either. Again, you know how I feel about their defense, Joe. I don't think it's very good. The over-under last week with Seattle was, I think, at 48. The over-under this week is at 49. I like the over 49 in the Lions-Vikings game. I think there's going to be a good amount of points this week. I do not like either side in terms of the spread.
I have to ask you this, though. The Lions trade Golden Tate.
Yes.
Do you think a trade shakes up anything when it comes to lines.
I think we all knew it was coming, so I don't think it's that big of a surprise. I think it's more frustration for the fans who feel as if they're giving up on the season again. And again, they're not giving up. They're building towards the future. I mean, the fact is Tate was not going to re-sign there, and they needed to kind of get out of him to start, you know, using Kenny Golladay, who has been, you know, underutilized the past couple weeks. They like him a lot. Marvin Jones is still signed for another year there as well. They have a couple kids they like coming up. Their tight end Roberts has been fantastic the past couple weeks. I just think that they're, you know, they wanted to kind of bring in a younger group of receivers and kind of start fresh there. I don't love the trade, but I think that the Lions will be okay. Again, that's why I don't want to back them this week, though, is because I don't know what they're going to look like without Golden Tate, but I do think Kenny Golladay is going to be very good there. So it was giving me some hope about that team. Again, I like the 0-49 because of that.
Okay, moving on, 1 o'clock games. Cleveland fires their head coach, fires the offensive coordinator. They're at home. They're 8.5-point dogs, and they're against Kansas City. There's got to be something there for teams dogged 8 or more at home that cover. This might be an emotional week, or maybe they rally around the new coach.
This feels like a letdown for Kansas City. Like, again, they finally didn't cover last week. Finally, the first time they didn't cover all year. They're still the number one ATS team, you know, in the league. However, I lean Cleveland. I lean the home dog here. But there's just something about betting against Kansas City right now which scares the crap out of me. The over 51 in this game, though, feels really good to me. I like the fact. I think Cleveland's going to open it up, this week. I like the fact that they're going to be, you know, Freddie Kitchens is the guy that are replacing who was the offensive coordinator, Todd Haley there with. He was the one who kind of helped Carson Palmer a couple years ago kind of open it up in Arizona. I think that Cleveland's going to score some points. I kind of like the over 51, but again, nothing to really love in this one.
I'd stay away. I'd stay away from it. See how the Chiefs bounce back and see if Cleveland gives anything or if they're a different team.
Maybe back Cleveland after the bye. Yeah. I think it's too early to back Cleveland this week.
So one game I always bet, it's Pittsburgh-Baltimore, and I have ridden Baltimore like till the cows come home in this series, and it's really paid off. The Steelers, ready for a trend? 1-5 in their last 6 games versus the Ravens against the spread.
You know exactly where I'm going in this game. You don't even need to think about it. You know exactly where I'm going in this game. I'm going Baltimore, and I like laying the 3. I think Baltimore is going to beat the Steelers. Again, road Steelers, divisional opponent, tough game. I like the home Ravens. Give me the Ravens.
Who's been the better team of late? To me, it's Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh's been okay, but I also think that they've been. And look at their opponents the past couple weeks. You know, they beat Cleveland. I mean, I don't think that's that impressive.
Yeah, they beat Atlanta. You're right.
Yeah, they beat Atlanta. Again,
Cincinnati. Cincinnati was a comeback win.
It was a good win, but they got ref help. I mean, really, they should not have won that game. The refs gave them that game. So to be fair, the Cincinnati game is legit. I think Baltimore is going to roll them by 10. Honestly, I think I really do.
Baltimore's and even Vegas is on Baltimore's side.
Yes, they are. The books are going to need Baltimore this week.
AFC East matchup, Jets at Miami. Jets were banged up last week. I went against them and hit. Miami, -3 this week. Brocktober. Now we're in November. They have extra rest for this one.
My favorite play of the week this week. So you know I'm going to talk about it. Over 45 in the Jets-Dolphins. That is my PP, my hey, second babe. PP. The over in the Jets-Dolphins, over 45. I like that a lot. I think that is going to be a game where everyone's going to think this is an under-divisional game. I think both defenses have now, we've seen, been susceptible to huge plays. I think both teams have playmakers. I think this is going to be a big week for big plays. The Jets and Dolphins over the 45 is my top NFL play of this week as of right now. I do think that the Jets are going to end up winning this game.
Yeah. I don't have a side on this one right now, but Miami's 4-4, and I just can't believe, like, they could win this week, be 5-4, go on a little run, like, maybe make a... But you like the Jets in this one. No play for me, but I just feel like this is a game Miami has to have. They have to have this game if they want to compete this year. I'm going to stay away from it. Dan likes the over.
I like the over.
Just on a side, I lean Miami a little bit on a side. They need that game. They need that one.
Yeah, but the Jets do too. That's the thing. You could argue that both sides.
And the Jets play the Pats twice.
Exactly. So you could argue that both teams really need that game.
How about Chicago at Buffalo? Buffalo, of course, lost Derek Anderson this week. They're going to go with Nathan Peterman. I had Chicago last week, which hit. They've covered, man. They've been a cover machine, Chicago. It's opened at 8.5. It's now at 10. Buffalo's a 10-point dog for back-to-back weeks.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know me. I never, almost never, will recommend this type of thing. I think this is the perfect teaser spot of the year.
I think total at 37.
I think this is the best teaser spot of the year. The Bears minus 3 and the Chiefs minus 1.5 in a tease. I think that is the teaser of the year right there.
Teaser, baby.
Seriously, 7-point tease, Bears minus 3, Chiefs minus 1.5. I'm not a teaser guy. I will never recommend you tease.
I think the three-team
hoping for outcomes is extremely tough, in my opinion. I do think that this is a free teaser. You can either get a three-team and do 10 points and do Kansas City, Chicago, and, you know, I won't recommend you tease across zero. So you could do that and, like, you know, again, I don't want to tease across zero, but you could even do the New York Jets Dolphins over under at 35. It's going to go over 35. So, I mean, those three right there, I think.
So you like the Bears to win. You just like him if he was teased out.
It's Peterman. I'm not backing Peterman. I'm also not backing Trubisky off 10 points. I'm not doing it.
Swing and miss take. I once thought Peterman would be good.
I mean, yeah. Wow. So did all Buffalo. So you're not the only one. But yeah, dude. Peterman, I mean, maybe just take the over interception prop. Did you just set a 1.5? I don't know. I don't know what to do with this game. I'm not laying 10 for Chicago. I'm definitely not laying any points at Buffalo. The under 37 intrigues me, but I'm also worried that the Bears might somehow, Trubisky might have a 6-touchdown game again. So I don't really like anything there. I'm going to tell you right now, if I had to play anything, it would be the under 37.5, but this is the perfect teaser game. This game right here, teaser central.
He likes the teaser in this game. We got a couple of square games coming up in a bit, but let's break this one down. Tampa Bay at Carolina. I talked about Tampa Bay earlier. Man, they're going to go with Fitzmagic. Totals at 54. I lean under right off the bat. Right off the bat.
So it's up
because of the way Carolina plays.
It's up to 55 now, which means that there's some sharp money.
Carolina's a damn good football team at 5-2.
I think they are too. I think they're probably the most underrated football team, and that's kind of why I like them to cover the 6.5 this week. But it is interesting to me. I think this is going to be a very square game.
And last year, this was a 3-point game. It was a low scoring 22-19 win.
I think this is a square game this year. I think Carolina covers the number, and I think the game goes over. I do.
I'm different on that one.
Yeah, I'm not big on either side, to be honest. I think the under is maybe sharp, but no, certainly not right now. The sharps coming in and sharps and pub coming in on the over right now. So interesting. Books may need that under. So
interesting team. I think 6 is a little too many for Carolina. I think they win this game. Again, I just lean under based off history and how they've played. No real play on it, but I lean under off the bat. But again, Tampa Bay's been how good again on the over this year? So
they've been great.
Probably a no play. All right, ready for a couple of squares?
Yep.
Atlanta at Washington. You know money's coming in on Washington, right?
See, I think money's going to come in on Atlanta.
Really?
I think there's going to be a ton of money coming in
this
on Atlanta.
This is a chance for Atlanta to go 4-4 and get right back in it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of money coming in Atlanta. I have not decided my thoughts on this game yet. I have to be honest with you. I'm a big Redskins guy. I've been fading them,
and I hit them last week.
You hit them last week. I did not like them last week.
You've liked them.
But I've been very good with my Washington boys so far. I'm going to hold off right now. I would like to see what I can find.
Yeah, maybe like injuries. Is Chris Thompson going to play?
I would like to hold off on this game right now. I'm going to tell you right now, I lean Washington, but I want to see what happens. I really need to look at this game more. I have not done a good job looking at this game. I will tell you, I will give you my thoughts on Twitter on this game.
They played in the preseason in Atlanta, but that means nothing.
Nothing.
So I was just trying to see their last That's an interesting game. You think Atlanta, I think Washington, where the money will come. And then there's just another one here, Houston at Denver.
So this is the 4 o'clock slate. By the way, this is the best 4 o'clock slate of games we will have this year. Probably, in my opinion.
I mean, Rams, last week we had Rams and Packers. Now we get Rams-Saints.
Now we get Rams-Saints. We have Chargers-Seahawks.
Seattle, that's a good game.
And Texans-Broncos.
Every game's just 2 points or less.
Just traded Demaryius Thomas to the Broncos or to the Texans.
Yep.
These teams don't like each other that much because of the Kubiak connection. There's a lot of stuff here. So in this one, I lean Denver. I mean, really, I don't know how you can back Houston just the way that they've been. And I think Houston's going to be a massive public favorite here just because of how Denver is. But I think Denver's the right side here. I think Houston is probably still one of the most overrated teams in the league. Constantly get back and kind of like
Can Denver run on Houston?
Yes, absolutely. I think they've been successful running.
Nice little three-headed monster.
I mean, Philip Lindsay has been incredibly good this year.
Even Booker has been playing pretty well.
Booker's been playing well. I mean,
he's been disappointed.
Listen, I like Denver a lot in this spot. I think that this is going to be a win for Denver. Denver Broncos PP pick 'em at -118. Give me the Broncos -118 this week. I like Denver to win this game outright easily. I think this is going to be an easy win. I really do. So, you know what that means. It's going to be a down-to-the-wire game, but I think Denver wins this game.
Okay. I think the square side is Houston in that one.
I agree. The square side is Houston, and I think that I think Denver is a good, sharp side team to bet on.
Denver coming off a cover against the best team in the league last week.
Yep.
Two turnovers late, which cost them. So,
backdoored it.
I'm going to give you a pick right now.
Okay.
Seattle -2, and I'm locking it up. Chargers are coming off that London game. They have to now, you know, go from L.A. to Seattle, which is probably no big deal.
But they're coming off a bye.
They are on the bye. And listen, they got lucky. They got lucky on that two-point conversion.
They did, and they also didn't have Melvin Gordon. So I'm interested to hear why you like it.
The Seattle Seahawks, 44-11 straight up in their last 55 home games. And I like the Seahawks at home just for the... I like the way the Seahawks have been playing. I like the way they've been playing. Dan, trust me. Any other week, any other day of the year, you give me 2 points with the Chargers. You do it. At 5-2, I just think Seattle's playing well right now. I know they'll get Melvin Gordon back, but the way Russell Wilson's been playing... They've been 4-2 against the spread. They've been a better team against the spread this year, Seattle. I like Seattle in this spot. It's something I don't normally do, but I'm backing the home favorite here.
Okay, I like San Diego. I like L.A., I mean.
Whatever they are.
I like L.A. coming off a bye. Seattle just had a tough road game. Chargers get Melvin Gordon back after he was out that London game. I think they're going to gash them. I think L.A.'s Bosa might return this week. I think it's going to be tough for Seattle to stop that defensive line. Their offensive line is not very good. I like L.A. a lot. I'm not going to pick them as a PP or anything, but I think that there's a good chance that L.A. covers and wins this game outright. No, so
they also saw each other in the preseason as well, which means nothing, but Chargers won 24-14.
All right, on to what is possibly the game of the week, Joe. The game of the week, in my opinion, outside of... There's two real games of the week. That's the problem. There really are two this week.
I think the Rams and the Saints have more implications than Patriots.
Oh, for sure. The Rams and Saints right now is a pick 'em, or the Saints -1 is at -110 or -1.5, depending on your book. I think there's going to be an assload of money coming in on the Rams this week. I think that New Orleans is kind of like Purdue right now. They're running the gauntlet. They played Baltimore, then Minnesota, now LA. There's something weird about this game, Joe. I can't exactly put my finger on it, but I really do like the Saints to finally beat the Rams. I just think that eventually all undefeated teams just suffered a down week. Rams off a big win last week at home. This is a letdown spot for them. Again, it's also a letdown spot for the Saints, kind of. So it's a weird one. I kind of like the Saints this week. I'll tell you this. I'm not playing the spread. I'm not playing the over. I'm not playing the under. I am going to watch this game. I have two TVs. I watch Red Zone, and usually I have, like, you know, I have Red Zone on both TVs. I'm going to put this game on my TV. I'm going to watch this game. I like nothing. I recommend you play nothing. If you want to do a 10-point tease, maybe this is the spot you do it with, like, the Rams or something. Maybe you get them at 11 or 12. I think they'll cover an 11, 12-point spread. But, I mean, really, I would not do anything. I like the Rams. I like both these teams. I wouldn't touch it.
These two teams met in the preseason again.
Joe!
They saw each other. 28-0 Saints in the preseason.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just they've seen each other. The Rams gave them nothing. So, like, they played each other, but they're not scheming or anything. It's just they've seen each other. And 59.5 is the total. It's the second highest total of the year.
It was at 60. It opened at 60 or 60.5. So, I mean, it's the second highest total of the year. Remember that Pat's total did go over. It went over. So now the over-under at 60 is at 2-1 now, all time, I believe. So you're going to be looking at probably an over, but I'm not. There is a 0% chance you're doing. If this was L.A. Kansas City, I would take the over. But I'm not doing that.
Big game for Todd Gurley. Big game.
I think it's gonna be an awesome game.
Gurley, Kamara. Those minus ones, plus ones, it's hard to go against New Orleans at home. That's all I can say. And trust me, everyone loves to fade the undefeated team. Like Dan said, be a good game to watch. Might be a good game to just fade the undefeated team. We have an 8 o'clock Sunday night football game between the Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots. Patriots are 5.5-point favorites. I thought that was a little high off the bat, Dan. Total, I think, is dead on, 56, 57. Pats are 6-2. Packer 3-3. Packer off an upsetting loss. They just traded Ty Montgomery. They just traded Ha Ha Clinton Dix. There was a little bit of beef between them in the locker room, so...
And there's also some beef between Ty Montgomery and Aaron Rodgers after that fumble last week.
Right. He shouldn't have ran it out of the end zone.
He's an idiot.
Stupid.
I agree. It was a stupid play, but not trade-worthy.
I think Green Bay just can put up a ton of points. So, A, I lean the over, but I the Pats play every game tight. I just feel like I like Green Bay on the spot.
So I'm going to this game Sunday, Joe. I'm very excited for this game. I'm going to this game. It'll be my first Pats game of the year. I've been offered tickets to like 4 or 5 games so far. I got offered to go to New York, or I got offered to go to Miami for a game, which obviously has not happened yet. I have not taken anything up yet. I'm going to the game this week. I want to see Aaron Rodgers live. This game feels like a 2 or 3 point game to me. It feels like a last possession type game. It feels like that Kansas City game that Pats end up winning somehow. But you know, it's going to be a real tight game. I'm going to be very square here. I like the over. The Pats defense has been disgusting. The Packers defense, I mean, has been really gross. I mean, I know their defensive line was awesome versus the Rams last week, and I get that. But I can't, you know, just go off a 1 week thing. The Packers are coming off a really tough game versus the Rams. The Pats coming off a short week versus the Bills, but again, it's the Bills. Who knows how much actual game planning needed to do that, considering how well they know that team. I don't know. I think the over is the right play. The sharps, it opened at 6.5. The sharps have brought it down to 5.5 from Green Bay. I think that you're better off just betting the over, or maybe betting like the second half over or something like that. There's not a huge edge on either side here. I do think it's interesting the Pats are minus 245 on the money line. Usually they should be about 210. So that's interesting to me. I do think that's a bit of a giveaway, but we'll see about that. But I think the Pats maybe win like a 2 or 3 point game. That's kind of what I feel. Maybe, you know, maybe like a 30-33-30 type game.
I agree. That's the analysis. It's just who's going to have the ball last, right? I mean, really, that's what it's going to come down to. I think the over is the right way to go. Finally, Monday Night Football. I actually like watching these two teams, Tennessee and Dallas. Teams that struggle to score, that play good defense. Dallas off a bye week. They now have Amari Cooper, so I'm interested to see how they play. Tennessee went for it on that 2-point conversion a couple of weeks back against the Chargers. They're 3-4 on the year. Dallas, again, I think they have a really good defense this year. I'm interested to see what they can do with Cooper in the mix. Looking at it, 6.5-point favorites right now. I feel like that's way too many points for the Dallas Cowboys. Opened up at 4. Now it's up to 6.5.
You know where the sharps are. You know where the sharps feel that their value is this week. I mean, I think the value is gone. I mean, at 6.5, I don't think there's any value left, Joe. So, but I don't know, Joe. To me, this is an under game. Right now it's at under 42. I like the under in this one, the first half under especially. It just seems like that these two are very defensive teams. Do you think there's going to be a decent amount of money on the over still? Just because everyone bets the over, it's a Monday night game. But
and the stats say that Dallas at home, just they don't cover often at home.
Yeah, they don't. Late. They don't. Tennessee has been awful offensively, though. So the question is, can Tennessee score enough points to stay with Dallas? I don't know how many points they're going to score, but Tennessee's defense is great. I think if you like good, grinded out defensive football, this is the game for you. I don't love it, to be honest with you. I think I'm probably going to be on the under. Probably going to be on the under, but definitely nothing I like. I think the spread's a weird spread. 6.5 is a lot for Dallas. You're right, Joe. I mean, that's a lot for Dallas to cover at home. Tennessee is not a terrible team. They're not a good team, but they're certainly not terrible.
It opened 6.5 at 4 is a lot. It got boosted up.
It's yeah, just... I mean, opening at 4 and moving to 6.5 tells you that the sharps love one side. Love. They like Dallas this week. So, I mean, maybe I'll ride that. Maybe I'll ride that.
What about
that,
the total 42?
I like the under. See, I like the under 42.
What's weird is that total and the Buffalo total. Buffalo's the lowest total on the board.
Yeah, 37.5, yeah. I like the under 42 in Dallas. I like the under 37.5 in Buffalo, too. I can't bet that, you know, Peterman won't throw like 7 pick sixes and Trubisky won't have 2 touchdowns, so I can't bet the under there.
All right, we broke down every single NFL game for Week 9. On the other side here, once we take a brief moment, a little bit of NBA talk, some rule changes, how it affects betting, and Dan's been giving away one play a day.
And we are also going to get to the window this week.
Whoa!
We're going to get to the window.
All right, stay tuned. And by the way, you can listen to all the podcasts, including Over Under 985 at 985thesportshub.com. You can hear our hardcore baseball podcast, our wrestling Inside the Ropes. We got some
awesome. I listened to my first time last week listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes. I know nothing about wrestling. I still enjoyed it.
I love wrestling.
I'm not a wrestling guy at all. I still enjoy
real
it.
To me,
I think Jimmy and Sarge do a very good job of that.
They do.
I highly suggest you listen if you're even remotely interested in wrestling. Highly recommend it.
And they showed how you can bet on wrestling even though it's predetermined.
And by the way, we are going to talk about wrestling for WrestleMania and stuff. We are definitely going to be previewing that.
I will be
and
going.
We are going to have either one or both of those guys on the podcast for that. So
I will be going to WrestleMania.
You're a lucky girl.
All right, we'll take a quick break and get into the NBA on the Over Under 985 podcast.
Hardcore baseball talk, Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
All right, back here over under 985. I can't believe we didn't mention this earlier, but there was a rule change in the NBA this year. When the offensive team gets an offensive rebound, the shot clock resets to 14 seconds instead of 24 seconds. That has changed the outcome of totals, overs and unders. And just from what I've seen, I know the first week there were a ton of overs. Then they couldn't adjust it. There were unders. You know, it's like a back and forth. It's been a ton of pushes. I've only bet a few NBA games this year totals, and both of them have pushed right on the number. So Dan, I know you've been following this pretty intently, but that rule change has made an impact as far as, you know, gauging overs and unders.
Yeah, I think it certainly has, and I think books are starting to adjust, and I think they got crushed early on. I think it was very similar to the lowering the helmet penalty in preseason. Remember all those lowering the helmet penalties in preseason, Joe? The numbers were just flying over in preseason because of it. I think it's very similar to what's kind of happening here right now. You have teams that are, you know, going way over their point totals because of how, you know, they only have 10 plus seconds on the rebounds, and so they're doing that. I also just think that the league has changed it so that there's less defense and more offense. People like points, and I think that that's just kind of one of the ways, you know, that the NBA has changed. I certainly want to discuss tonight's slate. I don't know what time we'll get the podcast out tonight, Joe. I'm going to try and get it out before the games. So if we don't get it out before the games tonight, apologies in advance. We'll also talk about tomorrow night's slate as well.
Yeah. I also love these TNT games.
Yeah, there are some good TNT games tonight. Let's quickly talk about the Oklahoma-Charlotte game tonight.
Out on Oklahoma.
Okay, so Oklahoma's still going to be a public-backed favorite, I believe. There's going to be a lot of people on the over tonight, too.
Oof, 227 points.
226 and a half.
Those
right
numbers
now
went up, man.
226 and a half. I think this is a pass game. I think that Charlotte
probably... I go under.
I think this is a... I don't like the under on this one because I feel like this is a potential overtime game.
Mm.
And so therefore, when you look at the potential overtime games, you really got to stay away from those. I kind of like Charlotte to win this one. I really do. I just think it's going to be close. I don't think there's a lot to like in this one right now. Maybe I'll change my mind. Again, I have not looked into these games a lot, so this is just my initial thoughts. And so my initial thoughts are probably over in Charlotte, and Charlotte is going to have to score a lot tonight. So we'll see about that.
Charlotte, 6-2 against the spread this year.
They are, and Oklahoma has been horrendous, just in
really
general.
Really bad.
Just horrendous.
How do you feel about Philadelphia this year?
Okay, so that was exactly the game I was going to move to, the Philly-LAC game.
They've sucked against the spread, man.
So the Sixers have been terrible. I know a few of my buddies backed them the other night in the six-point game. They were awful. They did not cover. They were covering for the majority of the game, I believe, and then did not cover after that. So that was pretty terrible. The Clippers played one of the worst second halves I've ever seen in NBA history. I was on the Clippers the other night versus the Thunder. The Clippers were rolling, dominating everything, and then laid about 8 points or 10 points in the second half and were terrible. So I am going to be backing the I would not back either side of it is what I mean.
What's that total at 229.5?
Yeah, 229.5. I think this one is going to be an overplay.
Oof.
It's at 230 now, I think, or it's about to go up to 230. I think that, to me, this is an overplay. I really do. I think neither team plays good defense, particularly in the second half. I just, there's nothing for me to like here. There's nothing. Both teams are terrible against the spread. Both teams are playing poorly. The Raptors ended up blowing out the Sixers the other night. I think this is going to, you're going to see a game where one of these teams scores 130 points tonight.
Wow.
I don't like either one.
I think this is Philly. I just don't like the 5 points.
I would not touch Philly. I mean, the Clippers played a really good first half and a really terrible second half the other night. So right now, they're just not a team I can get a grasp on, even though I did back them the other night. Not great.
We get the shit game, the Sacramento Kings at Atlanta.
So
Sacramento 6-2 against
Sacramento
the
has been awesome this year. They've been awesome this year, and that's exactly why I'm going to fade them tonight. Because bad teams play up to good teams, and they also play down to bad teams. And bad teams like Atlanta. Atlanta has not been terrible. I like Trae Young a lot. I think he's shown a lot this year. I think Atlanta's getting better. I mean, they're not going to be a good team this year by any means, but I think they're going to be better than what we're seeing right now. I like Atlanta tonight to cover the 2. That might be my pick of the day. I'm not positive, but that's definitely one I'm looking at. I think Atlanta's going to keep it very close. I just think that is the right way to go. Atlanta plus the 2 and that one tonight. Joe, let's move on to the 8 o'clock game, the 8 o'clock special, the Bucks and Celtics. Where are you leaning on that one?
So is it a square play if I like the Celtics?
No, I think it's the sharp side, actually.
Because I think that the Bucks go down tonight. They're 7-0. The Celtics are starting to turn it on. I don't know if it's Kyrie Irving's haircut or what, but it looks like he's back on track. Jaylen Brown's playing better. They're getting contributions all from the bench. Celtics at home tonight against a team they played in the playoffs. This is a who's got more balls, and who's going to knock off a 7-0 team. I think the Celtics wipe the floor with the Bucks. And is Giannis playing?
Yes.
Okay. Celtics tonight.
I like Celtics minus 3 as well. I think the Celtics cover the spread pretty easily. I also like the over 215 tonight. I think that both of those are solid plays. I definitely like the Celtics spread more. The Celtics finally looked together last game. The Bucks were discombobulated without Giannis, and now they have to bring him back in the line. I'm not saying that that's, you know, the toughest thing, but the first half, they're definitely going to struggle, in my opinion. Road game, the team is now being overvalued around the league because of how good they are. You know, Joe, that before the season started, who did I tell you was my sleeper in the East? Milwaukee. Bucks. I love Milwaukee. I do think that this is going to be a letdown game for them. I like the Celtics to cover that 3 tonight. I also like the 215, but the Celtics covering 3 tonight is a good play. In the 10:35 game, Joe, the Pelicans-Blazers, I got nothing for you. I have not looked into this one at all. I have not looked and done my research over on this one.
I don't even know what the total is. 224 over.
Yeah, this is one of those games where I kind of might find an under spot, so I'm interested to look into it. I'm not going to give you anything there. And I, you know what? I think we're going to hold off on the Friday slate. There's no spreads up. And, I mean, really, there's not a hell of a lot of good games either. Oklahoma City at Washington, Memphis at Utah, Toronto.
Yeah, like, how do the Clippers play off a back-to-back? The same with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And then there's always the Golden State-Minnesota game. By the way, Toronto, man, 7-1, like, they've been really impressive.
They have been. So, I don't know. I just...
And then, like, I'm just looking at the weekend games. Detroit's also been impressive, but they've lost 2 now back-to-back. I know Boston's going to Indiana. And then, obviously, the Lakers in Portland. I believe they already played this year, and Portland won. So, yeah, just taking a look at the weekend schedule here in the NBA. I hate to neglect, like, the NBA and NHL. It's just... The spots, man. Right now, it's college football and it's the NFL.
Can't do a daily podcast on it.
We just got rid of the baseball season. So, you know, we just added NBA today to the podcast. So when there's big games, we're going to talk about them.
All right, Joe, let's take it to the window.
Let's take it to the window. We haven't been there in a while.
I have not.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over, under 98.5.
We're going to go with two questions. I got to get out of here in 5 minutes. So we are going to give, I'm going to give two questions, Joe.
Okay.
Two this week. This one comes from Laram Wool, also at Cuzzy's Cozy. Isn't the NBA pure stay away when D Rose can still score 50 points, Joe?
Well, you know, it depends on which side you're on. You know, is that funny though? Like, he can still put up that amount of points. No, the NBA is actually one of the best sports to bet on, and I love the in-game betting and the halftime betting, and just like you mentioned, Dan, sometimes it's good to fade people. Like the 7-0 Bucks, maybe it's a good time to fade them tonight. Maybe it's a good time to fade, you know, Philadelphia at home. It's just that it's the perfect sport in bad spots, especially in college basketball.
But you also, it can't be a spot like, oh, they play back-to-back nights, I'm going to fade them. It has to be a spot. You have to really do your research on spots in the NBA. It's not the simple back-to-back and all those things, whatever, third game and Fortnite. Those games are those spots have already been identified. Those are no longer spots you can bet. You got to look for something special. It has to be more in-depth than that. So that's my personal feeling on that. All right, Joe, this one comes from Justin Brown. Do you ever make prop bets? If so, what sport do you find it easiest to win? Any particular stat lines that are easier to predict, particularly NBA or NFL? Personally, for me, I like the NFL for prop bets. It depends on what type of props you're making.
Yeah, like I got James White reception yards like 59 a couple of weeks ago, and I just bet it, and it went way. Remember we did?
Yeah, we talked about the podcast.
We went a couple of weeks back.
And that was one of the
Monday night game or.
I think it was a Thursday night.
Thursday night game.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, but I mean, again, it's one of those things you just have to pick and choose your spots and know those teams well. If you know a team well, you can really pick and choose what you think they're going to be able to do
plus
that night.
Team totals, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that somewhere, especially second half sometimes?
So I've been crushing, Joe knows this, I crush college football team totals. It's like my thing. I don't give them out because I like to not kind of give away where I'm leaning those. But really, college football team totals are just... I feel like money. Oklahoma at home, Utah State this year, UNLV. I mean, there's been points this year where I've just been like, you know, all these team totals are just money. So you have to pick and choose kind of what you're looking for. But I feel like if you know a team well, the best kind of spots to get, in my personal opinion, for prop bets are NFL receptions, yards over. You just have to know what you have to expect, the type of game plan to go into.
So I'll give you an example. The Falcons and Giants game from 2 weeks ago that we argued about, that you thought Eli was great and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The team total for the Falcons was like 24.5, and I thought that would be an easy over, and it didn't go over.
Yep. That's fair.
And like, that's like one where it's like, oh, it looks really good. Nope. Didn't go over.
All right, last question, Joe, from Dio's Trio. What is the reason you use when deciding to make a bet on the money line or the spread? Besides the obvious of, I think they'll win but won't cover, I guess I'm asking if there are any stats you use specifically in the NBA that push you to bet money line, spread, over under points. Here's the thing. For me, at least personally, when I bet a team spread, I'm not looking for whether they win. I'm looking for whether they cover. If there's no spread, I'll look at the money lines. But for me, I'm not a big money line parlay guy in the NBA just because there's so much variance in that league night to night. In my opinion, you're looking for a spread. Over-unders, to me, again, picking and choosing spots, looking at teams, knowing how they play, looking at past history, looking at coaching past history. There's a lot to look into, but it's very choosy.
So last week, Celtics versus Thunder, I took the Celtics -1 and -120. I bet both because, I mean, normally in those situations, you're either going to win both bets or lose both bets. So, yes, in the NBA, I sometimes do. If it's -1.5, I might bet both. In the NFL, I do it all the time. If it's like Purdue a couple of weeks ago, or even last week, Michigan State, you could have got them at 2.5 or pick them or whatever and bet the money line. If I like the team, I'm betting both the money line and the spread.
Yeah, I don't do that. I like to bet the spread. Usually, if they're good in the NFL, they cover, as we've talked about.
It's called doubling down, baby.
On this podcast a million times. Sometimes a money line parlay is good if you want to do that, but really for me, that's the way to do it. All right, Joe.
All right, man.
I have to get out of here.
I'm getting married.
Joe's getting married, so next week will be a solo podcast, most likely, just me. We will try and dial in Joe for a little bit, but no promises. I'm going to bring a guest on next week.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to see what else we can do. So we will bring all that to you next week. I got to get out of here, Joe.
Who you got?
Who over you under 985. Got over under 985?
We'll talk to you next week.
Hardcore Baseball Talk, Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.